It is great to be with you today. Thank you very, very much for being a part of our services here at Azalea City. And I am thankful for those who are not only members, but our visitors who are with us today too. Thank you for being here and being a part. There's a lot of great things going on at Azalea City, and I'm going to talk about a couple of those in just a moment. But before I get into that, I do want you to add a couple names to your prayer list, if you don't mind, names that these have just come to us since Justin's made announcements. A lot of you know the Myers family, Ryan Myers, especially his wife Ashley. Her mother has been battling cancer, very young lady as well, and she passed away this morning. And so please remember the Myers family in your prayers. And then a lot of folks have known or worshipped with or through Mogul Christian School. Remember Miss Camilla Newbill. She passed away this morning as well. So a couple families that are hurting today that are in the brotherhood, and so let's remember them as we remember others. As those men stood up here behind our elders or with our elders, I got a couple pictures of those, and I'll share those on our Facebook page later. But it was a great scene, wasn't it? It's exciting. Why is it exciting? Not just because our elders are promoting men to say that, hey, look at the deacons we have, because we have that many things that need to be worked with. And those men all have been assigned a duty. And it's like in Acts 6, when the apostles knew that there was a need, they asked men to serve. And so I'm thankful for these men, and these men are some great, not only servants, but teachers and leaders and role models as well. So that's exciting to me. It was exciting to me to have Bible class today. It's exciting to me to know that we're going to be honoring our graduates today. And what a great group of young men and young ladies we have that are graduating from all three of their prospective classes and points in their lives. But I have some other exciting news to share with you today. A lot of exciting things going on. Again, I go back to my friend Randy Miller, who said, the more we have babies, the more we'll keep growing. And you saw we had a lot of children come up this morning. Well, guess what? In our number today, there is a couple that is expecting a baby. There's a lot of people here today. So I'll give you a minute to think about it. If you said Justin and Ashley Barnes, you got it right. Hey, congratulations to Justin, Ashley, Riley, Grayson, Steve, Leisha, and all their family. We assume it's the caboose. Ashley's like, it better be, right? Sing and be, hey, we're excited, though. That is great news. Justin told me Wednesday night, and he said, hey, I got an announcement for you to make Wednesday. My mouth, I think, hit the floor to begin with, but great excitement, and I'm so happy for my friends and all those, and so it's going to be a great day. Grayson's going to be a big brother, and Riley's already a big a sister, and so be another one as well. So we're thankful for that. As you can see on the screen, we're still talking about being rooted in Christ. I appreciate Dale Eubanks on a lot of levels, but his prayer this morning, he said in that prayer, help us to be able to go out and spread, tell others about you in this area. And, you know, that's really where growth is supposed to get to, right? We started this series several weeks ago talking about growing, talking about how God can do amazing things. And we've been studying that all year long, our amazing God. But as we look back, we talked about that seed. Remember the seed that is spread? Of course, some of it falls on good soil. Some falls in some other places that are not so good. But the one that falls in that good soil, even though it's not the rocky soil, we don't want to be in the rocky soil that we sprout up and then burn out. We want to be in that good, rich soil that's able to grow, but we want to build on the foundation of Jesus Christ. So once we start our growth, we know that that growth has good soil underneath, and we want to lay a foundation. That foundation is Jesus Christ. And so we talked about that. We talked about not only growing in Christ, but being able to stand tall when battles come, when different things get in the way. And so as we've embarked on this journey, even last week we talked about pruning away the bad, right? We're rooted in Christ, we're growing in Christ, we're pruning in Christ, the things that may distract us, but it's about getting to evangelizing. That's why we're here. I'd love to tell you you're here to be CEO of your company. Now, if you do that, that's great. Congratulations. I'd love to tell you you're here to be the wealthiest person alive. You know, if you do that and you can do what you're supposed to do, congratulations. Those are just bonuses, right? We are here to evangelize. We are here to tell others about Jesus. We're here to glorify God. And one way we glorify God is telling others about what God has done for us. And so our point in our lesson, and this is the finale of this series, is we want to grow ourselves so that we can tell others about Jesus. You know, as we honor our graduates today, our kindergarten, high school, and college, again, they're all going different places, but especially our high school, they're about to embark on a brand new journey, right, that's going to lead them to different colleges, to different places, or different workforces. And you know, I think about it, and I should have put this picture in there. I've shared it on Facebook with Brandon and Mandy and through text with Misty as well. But when Brandon and I were a little bit younger, we had the privilege of coaching soccer at Mobile Christian or through Mobile Christian. And, you know, I have that picture in my office. And it's Bo, Connor, and Reed. Now, Connor and Reed are graduating this year. But you look at those three little fellas. By the way, Reed was still the tallest back then too. But we look at those three little fellas, and now I see that especially these two that are growing up, man, it's that quick, isn't it? That fast. That's how growth is. That's how time is. And so why do we want to waste any more time? Don't waste enough. You could probably reflect on your life today and think about the opportunities you've missed. Well, again, you know, Johnny talked to us, there's going to be trouble in life, but I'm thankful that Christ has overcome that trouble and He's overcome our past. All those things can be out of our past, can be forgiven if we've blown opportunities, right? But why would we waste any more time? It's true, as the song goes, time is filled with swift transition. It's true, as James wrote, that life is like a vapor. It appears for a little while and then it vanishes. We've got to make the most of the opportunity that God has given us. That's why we've got to grow. That's why we've got to be rooted in Christ. That's why we've got to build upon that foundation. And we've got to prune away the things that are distracting us. In Matthew 28, Scott read it to us, and thank you, Scott, did a great job. You know what Jesus said in verse 18? Go. In Mark 16, Ethan read it to us. Ethan, great job. You know what he talked about in Mark 16? Go. And in Acts 1, as he tells the disciples or the apostles at that point that I'm leaving you, wait on the Spirit, you know what the theme was? Go. God wants us to go. Now listen, let me say this. And Dale's prayer, he said, in this community, you know, when Jesus said go, essentially, in Acts 1, He said, be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You know where they were standing? When He said Jerusalem, they were standing in Jerusalem. What's your Jerusalem today? Well, your Jerusalem, you could say, is Sims, Alabama, because that's where our community is. And that would be true. But I want to go even further than that. Your community is your family. Your community is that circle that you start with. The community that we live in is Sims. Listen, I am so thankful for our Ukrainian brethren, aren't you? I mean, we've got, and I met some of them quite a while ago. And you know, it's a blessing to me to know them. I've been to Ukraine and been to a part of Camp AmeriCrane and different things such as that, as George and others have here as well. But that might not be you. Your gift may not be getting on an airplane and going. But I want you to know the fields are wide unto harvest everywhere we go. There are people that are starving for Jesus Christ today. And we've got to be those leaders that lead them to Jesus, who leads them to the promised land. Now, we're talking about growing, right? We're talking about being rooted in Christ. Well, I want you to know, you can't have the word grow without the word go. And so as we think about going, as I think about my slide changing, we've got to think about what God has done for us. And in that, I want you to play a game with me. I don't want you to say it out loud. Did I not change that a second ago? I didn't? Okay, in my mind I did. Oh, okay. All right. Anyhow, I want you to play a game with me, all right? Don't say this out loud, but I want you to think about in your mind, when you see what I'm about to show you, what comes to your mind. There's going to be something. Okay, you might think right now, hey, I'm loving it. You might think right now, ugh. You might think right now, that was a great memory, or chicken nuggets or something. But something comes to your mind when you see those golden arches, right? What about this one? Same thing, right? You're probably thinking right now, have it your way. You rule, as their thing says. It's a catchy jingle now. It's a catchy song. Trust me. I get it. But something comes to your mind. What about this one? Man, it might be misery. I don't know. It is with me. But something comes to mind. Right now you might be thinking, hey, I got to get a couple things at Walmart today. But something triggers that thought. What about this one? Hey, I'm teaching off one today. I mean, the people at Apple are genius. You know, you get a phone, then you get a watch, and you get a computer, and you get an iPad, and you can't leave them because you're married in the family. But something right now is coming to your mind. And that's the way it is. That's the way advertisement is. What I want to ask you is, what comes to your mind when you think about that? What do others, when they find out you attend services at that building, what do others think about? Do they see Jesus living in you? Because after all, we are letters, right? We are letters that are clearly written. People are reading Jesus Christ. You know, one of the saddest things I guess we could do is think, hey, I'm a person, I go to church and I attend Sunday school and I'm there Wednesday night. And listen, I'm not saying any of us are perfect. We're not. But if I'm not a vocational evangelizer, if I'm not a vocational minister, or wherever I'm in life, if I'm not ministering to others, and maybe I haven't grown like I should, and people say, you go to Azalea City? You go to church at all? You go to Azalea City? I'll never go there. You see, that's the type of tool that Satan wants to use. Just like all those other things that come to mind, I want a good thing that comes to mind when we think about the Azalea City Church of Christ. I like this passage of Scripture, and I invite you to join me there. In Acts chapter 16, we have a great story of evangelizing. And you know what they're doing? They're evangelizing wherever they go. If you were to put up a picture that represented the early church, and again, they didn't have a church building like we can that we can make that point, right? They were just worshiping in houses and wherever they could, right? But if you could put up a picture back then in Acts 16 time, and the church is established and it's growing and such, there would be a lot of things that come to mind that were good, right? There would be a lot of people that would view that and they think, oh, wow, that place is special. Those folks that go there, they love Jesus Christ. They love to tell others about Jesus. They help people. They serve people. They do great things. But then there'd be some naysayers. There'd be some that said, these people are a nuisance. These people get on my nerves. I don't like that place. I don't like them. I don't like this. Well, that's what the early church was facing. And in Acts 16, Paul has found some of those naysayers. If you'll recall, there's a lady that's possessed, if you will, following he and Silas around, and Paul has enough of it. And because he has the miraculous power of the Holy Spirit, he's able to cast that spirit out of this lady. We're going to pick up right there because it made some people mad. If you look at Acts 16, let's read together verses 19. We're going to, it says through 40, but we're going to read through 32. But when her masters, that's that lady, saw that their hope of profit was gone, it affected their money, now they're mad, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. And they brought them to the magistrates and said, these men, being Jews, get this, exceedingly trouble our city. And they teach customs which are not lawful for us being Romans to receive or observe. Then the multitude rose up together. They're unified against them, right? And the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. That really puts what Johnny said in perspective. In this world, you will have trouble. You know, I've never been beaten for my faith. Have I been persecuted? Absolutely. But I've not been beaten. Paul and Silas have been dragged to this place before this group of people, this angry mob who's unified against them saying, let's beat them. Beat them with rods. 23. And when they had laid many stripes on them. You see, there was no 39 times. It's as many as we want to hit them. They laid many stripes on them. Isn't it interesting that Luke didn't even give a number? Maybe he lost count. Maybe he didn't know. But here's what you do know. That picture of the early church that went up, there are a lot of people right now that aren't happy with it because that's Satan. But Paul and Silas are a light in a dark world. See, verse 23, they had laid many stripes on them. They threw them into prison. Okay, now they've beaten them. They've put them in prison. Get this. Commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in stocks. You know who goes into the inner prison? The worst of the worst. People that do not deserve to see daylight. People that do not deserve to get out of there. It's where the most notable criminals go. Paul and Silas, what are you guilty of? Teaching, and in this point, casting out in the name of Jesus Christ. That's their charge. But you see, what we've got to remember is, through all this, they're growing. They're growing to evangelize. Now, verse 25, but at midnight, Paul and Silas, after all these things, were praying and singing hymns to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. Remember, Justin shared this in a Wednesday night devotional just a couple weeks ago. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakening from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, "Do yourself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light, ran in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" So they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, washed their stripes, and immediately he and all his family were baptized. Now when he brought them into his house, he set food before them, and he rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household. Where were Paul and Silas in the growth chart? Now you got to remember Paul's life. It didn't start out just being raised what we would call in the church, right? He was raised in the law. He was taught by Gamaliel. He was a Jew of Jews, a Pharisee. He had the record that showed he was not for Jesus Christ. But as we say in Acts 9, he saw the light. And because he saw the light, he did what Jesus told him to do. He went to Ananias. He was baptized into Jesus Christ. And that part point forward, he was rooted. He built on the foundation and he grew to the point of evangelizing. Paul had a job. Remember what his job was? He's a tent maker. He had a job, but that job wasn't his identity. Paul probably had hobbies, don't you think? I mean, I would venture that he did. I have no proof of that. Maybe he liked going to watch the battles in the Colosseum and such. I mean, he talked some about that stuff, right? Running and such. Maybe he enjoyed sports like we enjoy sports. Or maybe, you know, he was an outdoorsman. I don't know. We don't know those things. But you know what? Whatever, if he did have hobbies and such, they were not his identity. You know, the first thing we ask when we meet somebody a lot of times, or somebody asks you, is, "Hey, what do you do?" Why? Because we associate our job and such with who we are. But Paul said, "You know who I am? I am a child of the King." That was his identity. And that's what he had grown to be. He understood, even though he wasn't there in Matthew 28 and Mark 16, he understood what it meant to go into all the world. Do we understand it? I believe this story, he gives us a great example of how we do it. Here's the first thing I want you to think about that Paul did, he and Silas. We've got to be willing to look. If you look back at verse 28, "But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, 'Do yourself no harm, for we are all here.'" Why didn't he leave? I mean, obviously it was God who did not want him to die, because it was God who sent the earthquake. Now, Paul would have been fine if they would have taken his head right there. He was going to heaven, right? If he never got out of that prison, he was going to go to heaven. He was going to keep singing songs. He was going to keep doing what he could do, evangelizing to those prisoners, I would imagine. He was going to keep putting in a good word for Jesus, because that's where he had grown to be. He understood what God wanted of him. It wasn't for him to be a tent maker. It wasn't for him to be something else. It was for him to be an evangelist wherever he went. He had the opportunity to escape, but he wasn't concerned with his own escape. He was concerned with the soul of that jailer. Sometimes it's right in front of us, folks. Sometimes there's an opportunity right in front of us, but if we haven't grown to look, then maybe we're going to miss it. We are often so distracted that we are not looking for souls anymore. You know how many times I have to tell kids today, look me in the eyes? When I was growing up, that was like in your milk, okay? You knew that. You looked a coach in the eyes. You looked a teacher in the eyes. You looked an adult in the eyes when they talked to you. Now kids are like everywhere, you know? Like, I was like, look me in the eyes. That's important, right? But we quit looking in the eyes. We quit looking. We quit focusing because we get distracted. Hey, yeah, I have ADHD too. I get it. I mean, it's kind of a joke in the elders' ministers' meeting because I finish everybody's thoughts in there. Because it's a nervous habit. It's just my mind is always going a million miles an hour, but it's still not an excuse to not look for souls, right? Man, do we have devices? I just told you how many I have, and you have probably just as many, if not more, or a couple, or one, or however. We didn't have TV in there. We didn't have radio, music and such in there. There's a lot of devices out there that draw our attention away from looking. Or what about busy? Sit down if you're busy, right? We're all busy. We are all busy people. Whatever it may be, if we're not careful, Satan will use it to make us quit looking. You see, if we're not evangelizing Jesus Christ, we haven't grown to where we need to be. And if I'm not looking for opportunities, then for some reason, I am distracted. Jesus looked for the poor. He looked for the sick. He looked for the diseased. He looked for the struggling. And I'm so thankful to God, as Johnny mentioned, He looked for the sinner. Because that's you and me. But looking is part of it. But you know what else is part of it? Listening. We've got to be willing to listen. Look at verse 30, Acts 16. He brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Paul wasn't distracted. He recognized this man. He recognized the opportunity he had before him. And when the man asked the question, he did not ask the man to be quiet. He didn't say, "Man, be quiet, hush, we need to get out of here, we need to get away from here." In fact, he listened to the question. He listened to what the jailer had to say. Listening is a lost art. James taught us to be swift to hear, slow to speak. What is counseling? Counseling is, yeah, it's giving advice, but it's really listening. Listening to what others are sharing with you. Do we need to look for the struggling? Absolutely. But you know what we need to do after that? Listen to their hurts. In Exodus 3:7, we have these words. The Lord said, "I have surely seen," that was looking, right, "the affliction of my people who are in Egypt and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings." Psalm 34:17, the ESV reads it this way: "When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles." 2 Kings 20, verse 5, "Turn back and say to Hezekiah, the leader of my people, thus says the Lord, the God of David your father, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Behold, I will heal you. On the third day, you shall go to the house of the Lord." If God is looking and God is listening, His people better be as well. If I want to truly be an evangelist, if I want to be a vocational minister, everywhere I go, everybody I come in contact with, putting in a good word for the Lord and His church and heaven, then I've got to be willing to look. And I've got to be willing to listen. There's something else. And I think this is at the center of it all. I've got to be living it. Look back at Acts 16 again, beginning in verse 20. "And they brought them," again, that's Paul and Silas, "to the magistrates and said, 'These men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city, and they teach customs which are lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe.' Then the multitude rose up together against them. The magistrates tore off their clothes, commanded them to be beaten with rods, and when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them in the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. But at midnight, see, that's a transition. All these bad things had happened, right? They made a lot of people mad. The leaders of that city, they've torn their clothes. They've commanded them, because these men are exceedingly troubling our city, to be beaten with rods. Beat them as many times as you want to. Then put them in prison. Give a jailer, make sure that jailer says they don't escape. That jailer says, the way I can make sure they don't escape, I'm going to put them in maximum security. I'm going to put them in the inner prison. I'm going to lock up their feet. I'm going to lock up their hands, and they're not going anywhere. He was so comfortable with it, he went to sleep. But I imagine before he went to sleep, he heard Paul and Silas, don't you? All these bad things, but here's the transition. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. I suggest the jailer was too. And you know what that jailer's got going on through his mind? How in the world are these guys happy? First of all, if you're in trouble with the law, you're probably not in a good mood. No matter if you think you're innocent or not. But then suppose that law, they're so upset with you, they tell the ones that are good at their job to beat you. They say, hey, don't do it with whips, don't do it with this, just get the rods. Get the metal and just lay them open. Now I want you to know that metal on skin, it doesn't take much. I'm sure they were bleeding. Again, I don't have proof of that, but I would imagine their backs and legs and backside and everything else is pretty torn up, because they beat them, I don't know how many stripes they put on them. And then they tell them, hey, I'm going to put you in a place that you're not going to get out of. Now how would you feel? Is your growth there yet? Let me tell you where Paul and Silas were. They were singing praises to God. There are some people that came here this morning. I'm not judging you. I didn't look around, but I'm just assuming. I'm making an assumption. That when Steve picked out the selection of songs, you if you sang them at all, you might say, well, and it feels good in here. Those pews are comfortable. Got nice clothes on. Had good breakfast this morning. Got good lunch. Many good things going on. And we can't even sing praises to God with all our heart right now. Much less beaten, put in an inner prison. You know what Paul and Silas were doing? They were living Jesus Christ. They were happy. Why? Because true joy comes from Jesus. And I'm going to suggest to you that is what ultimately led that jailer to Jesus Christ. He wanted what they had. How do I get like that? How can I go through what they went through and now all of a sudden be happy and full of joy? I want what they have. Do others want what we have? You know, I know this is silly, but you know me. If you go back to eating, I know what we have. It's not potluck today. But by the way, y'all saved me 2 meatballs at that last potluck. And you know what I heard in line? Hey, there's plenty of broccoli, Terry. Okay, you get a big bowl of broccoli, I will never ask for anything on your plate or in your bowl. Okay? But if you've got something, I mean, it could be dessert, it could be something sweet, it could be something you really enjoy, you know, I might say, hey man, can I have one of those? You see, I want you to think about this. What's on your plate spiritually that others are seeing? Is it a big plate of vegetables that nobody wants? Or is it that chocolate cake that everybody desires? You understand the point, I hope. As silly as it is, what are we showing others? Do they want what we have? When they see Azalea City's church building, what do they think of in this community and surrounding areas? It's not just that the preacher needs to keep his, as we say, nose clean, or the elders need to keep their nose clean or stay out of trouble, or these deacons and others. We all have to be representatives of Jesus Christ wherever we go, around whoever we come in contact with. You know, I think we all would say we love happiness, but the world wants us to be sad. I said it earlier, but true joy comes from Jesus, and others are reading us because we are those letters clearly written. What are they reading? Maybe we need to smile more. Maybe we need to laugh more. Maybe we need to look like we are saved and live like we're saved, like Jesus Christ. So, if we look at it, we've got to look. We've got to listen. We've got to live it. And the one that brings it all together, it's got to be love. 31 through 34, Acts 16. So they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household." Now that's the type of belief that leads you to action. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. And immediately he and all his family were baptized. Now when he had brought them into the house, he set food before them and he rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household. Paul and Silas were able to save, or Jesus saved them, but they were able to lead this man to salvation, to Jesus Christ, because they had love. If we do not love others, then we're not going to lead them. When I was a child, going back to the silly food stuff, I had to eat those green things. My dad made me eat those green things. But I will not eat any today because I don't love them. There are people that will go outside tomorrow or maybe this evening or sometime and just run. You're just going to go and run miles upon miles upon miles. Good for you. I don't run because I don't love it. You see, my point behind it is when we are of age, we do the things we do normally because there's a love of it. If I do not love the lost, I will never teach them about Jesus Christ. Jesus said the second greatest commandment is to love others. Of course, the first being to love God. This has to be the norm for all believers. Paul taught in 1 Corinthians 13 that if we have all the many ministry skills in the world, all the talents, all the gifts, all the abilities, all the things, I mean, you're the motivational speaker, you're the song leader, you're all these things combined into one. If you do all those and have all those, but you do not have love, You're just making a bunch of noise. Love is the mortar that keeps the bricks together. Love is what makes it go. Love is the foundation. Love is what we must stand on. God called us to be evangelists. Once we're baptized into Jesus Christ, as this jailer and his family, we're baptized into Jesus Christ. It's fallen on the good soil, right? And so now we're starting to build. We're laying that foundation, and that foundation is Jesus Christ. It's been laid for us. We're just going to build on it. And as we're building on it, we're growing on it. We're getting off the milk. We're getting on to solid food. But then Satan throws these distractions, and maybe this comes up and that comes up. Where there comes a time, if we're going to have true growth as Jesus taught, we've got to prune or allow God to prune it. But the place we've got to get to is being the evangelist. We've got to love telling others about the greatest story that's ever told. In Acts 16, it's the same Paul who was Saul that said he was the chief of all sinners. It's the same Saul who became Paul who saw the light. This Paul, you know what he's doing? He's obeying, even though he wasn't there in that crowd, he's obeying Matthew 28, 18 through 20. But you know what? It wasn't just Paul, because it was contagious. It was contagious to those he came around. Some have said, and I wouldn't argue it, that Paul was the second greatest soul winner who's ever walked this earth. He had a thorn in the flesh. He had issues. But the man loved Jesus Christ. He loved the lost. And he loved telling the story. Today, I don't know where you are on your journey. Truly, only you and God know that. But if we want to grow the Azalea City Church of Christ, we've all got a job to do. If we want this congregation to be rooted in Christ, then we've got to be rooted in Christ. If we want this congregation to grow, then we must grow. Sometimes it means we've got to prune things away. But the best way for this congregation to grow is for us to take evangelism as serious as God. I think about our graduates. There are so many times in the 14 years that I stood as a youth minister and I honored class after class after class. And just about every one of them, there was someone or something or all of them that just really touched my heart. I think about where they're going. I think about what they're about to do. I think about the independence they're about to have. But what I pray for all of them, not only this class, but next year's class and the class after that, is that as parents, we've been those teachers in our own Jerusalem. Have we taught our children? Are we teaching our children? Do we love God, the church, the Bible, and Jesus that much? Are they rooted in Christ? You see, today, I don't know where you are. And I can't promise you tomorrow, but I can guarantee you right now. And right now, every one of us have a do-over. If we need to repent, or if we need today to become a child of God, that opportunity is before us right now. Why did the jailer do it at midnight, or later than midnight? It was midnight when they started. Why did he do it at 2, 3 in the morning, whatever time it was? Why did he do it then? Wait till the daylight. Wait till next week. Because he wasn't guaranteed anything but that opportunity. That's why he did it then. You know what happened after that? They ate some food together and he rejoiced. You want to rejoice today? Walk out of here right with Jesus Christ. We have the opportunity to do it right now. It's together. We stand and sing.